Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Trauma of Money: Mapping Compassionate Pathways to Healing Financial Trauma and Disempowering Financial Shame by Chantal Chapman is a practical nonfiction work at the intersection of financial education, trauma-informed psychology, and social equity. Rather than treating money problems as simple failures of discipline, knowledge, or planning, the book argues that financial behavior is often shaped by nervous system responses, family histories, social conditioning, and structural inequities. Its purpose is to widen the meaning of financial literacy so that it includes emotional regulation, shame reduction, embodied awareness, and awareness of systemic harm. Chapman presents money as both a practical tool and a charged psychological symbol connected to safety, belonging, autonomy, and survival. The book is written for individual readers seeking to understand their own financial patterns, as well as professionals such as financial advisors, coaches, therapists, and community practitioners who want a more compassionate framework for financial conversations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, financial patterns are reframed as trauma responses rather than character flaws. A central contribution of the book is its challenge to the assumption that harmful money behavior is mainly caused by ignorance or weak self-control. Chapman presents avoidance, secrecy, compulsive spending, undercharging, overgiving, hoarding, or panic around bills as patterns that may be linked to earlier experiences of instability, shame, exclusion, or threat. This reframing matters because conventional financial advice often begins with budgets, goals, and accountability, while trauma-informed work begins with safety, context, and nervous system capacity. The difference is not merely therapeutic language, it changes the sequence of intervention. A person who freezes when opening bank statements may not need more information first. They may need a way to tolerate the bodily and emotional reaction that financial information triggers. By identifying money behavior as adaptive in origin, even when harmful in the present, the book reduces moral judgment without removing responsibility. It encourages readers to ask what a pattern has been protecting them from, what conditions created it, and what new skills could make that pattern less necessary. Secondly, The Trauma of Money Method combines financial psychology with body-based healing. The book is organized around the Trauma of Money Method, a framework that integrates financial psychology with trauma-informed and reflective practices. Based on available descriptions, the method draws from modalities such as somatic trauma healing, narrative therapy, cognitive behavioral approaches, mindfulness, internal family systems, addiction recovery principles, biomimicry, and systems thinking. Its significance lies in refusing to treat money as only mathematical. Budgets and repayment plans can be useful, but Chapman argues that they are incomplete when the body associates money with danger, rejection, or powerlessness. The method, therefore, includes practices that help readers notice bodily signals, examine inherited money stories, question automatic beliefs, and build greater discernment before acting. This integrative design also helps explain why the book appeals beyond a standard personal finance audience. It offers a bridge between emotional healing and practical decision-making, allowing money work to include regulation, reflection, and relational repair. The framework is not presented as a replacement for financial planning, but as a foundation that may make planning more sustainable. Thirdly, financial shame is treated as a barrier to agency and clear decision-making. The book places special emphasis on financial shame, which Chapman treats as more than embarrassment about debt, income, spending, or family background. Shame narrows attention, increases secrecy, and can make people either overcompensate or disengage. In money contexts, it may prevent someone from negotiating pay, asking for help, reviewing accounts, discussing inheritance, or setting limits with relatives and clients. The book, therefore, treats shame reduction as a practical financial skill, not only an emotional benefit. When shame decreases, people are more able to look directly at numbers, evaluate options, and tolerate imperfect progress. Chapman also highlights the importance of fault tolerance, a capacity to remain engaged when mistakes, uncertainty, or setbacks occur. This is significant because perfectionism often appears in money work as a demand to fix everything immediately or never make another financial error. By replacing shame-based pressure with compassionate accountability, the book makes room for learning. It presents financial healing as an iterative process in which clarity grows through regulated contact with reality. Fourthly, the book connects personal money wounds to systemic and inherited conditions. A distinctive feature of the trauma of money is its insistence that financial trauma cannot be understood only at the individual level. Chapman situates money wounds within broader histories and systems, including capitalism, colonialism, racialized wealth disparities, gendered economic expectations, and intergenerational transmission of scarcity or survival strategies. This perspective prevents the book from reducing financial distress to private pathology for many readers. Fear around money is not irrational if their families or communities have experienced dispossession, exclusion from credit, wage inequity, unstable housing, or social punishment for financial vulnerability. The systemic lens also complicates the language of empowerment. The book does not simply tell readers to think differently and become confident with money. It asks them to recognize how social structures shape access, risk, and emotional meaning. This approach is especially relevant for professionals who serve clients from different cultural, racial, or class backgrounds. It encourages financial guidance that respects lived context, community obligations, and historical harm, rather than imposing a single ideal of independence or accumulation. Lastly, professionals are encouraged to make financial conversations safer and more ethical, although individual readers can use the book for self-reflection. Its framework is also relevant to financial advisors, therapists, coaches, fintech teams, entrepreneurs, and community workers. Chapman encourages professionals to notice how ordinary financial conversations can activate shame, defensiveness, compliance, or withdrawal. A client who appears disorganized, resistant, or unrealistic may be responding to threat cues rather than refusing good advice. This has practical implications for intake questions, pacing, language, goal setting, and accountability. A trauma-informed professional would avoid using fear, humiliation, or one-size-fits-all benchmarks as motivational tools. Instead, they would build consent, explain processes clearly, allow emotional reactions to be named, and support gradual engagement with financial facts. The book also points toward an ethical boundary. Financial professionals are not asked to become therapists, and mental health professionals are not asked to replace financial expertise. The value is in shared literacy. By understanding financial trauma, practitioners can refer appropriately, communicate more carefully, and create conditions in which clients can make decisions with more agency. In conclusion, The Trauma of Money is best suited for readers who sense that their financial patterns cannot be explained by spreadsheets alone. It will be useful for people dealing with avoidance, shame, chronic scarcity, overgiving, anxiety around earning, or conflicted feelings about wealth. It is also relevant for advisors, planners, coaches, therapists, and justice-oriented practitioners who want to discuss money without reducing clients to numbers or habits. The practical benefit of the book is its expanded definition of financial literacy. Readers are invited to develop regulation, self-inquiry, shame resilience, and contextual awareness alongside conventional financial skills. Intellectually, the book stands out because it links personal money behavior with family systems, embodied trauma responses, and structural inequity. Many personal finance books focus on budgeting, investing, productivity, or behavioral economics. Many trauma books focus on the body, memory, and relationships without sustained attention to money. Chapman brings these areas together and argues that healing financial trauma is a prerequisite for durable financial agency. Its most distinctive contribution is not a new budgeting tactic, but a compassionate map for understanding why money can feel threatening, confusing, or morally loaded. That makes it a strong addition to trauma-informed financial education and a useful corrective to advice that treats money struggles as simple knowledge gaps. If you would like to support Channel Chapman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.